Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and verse 1 of chapter 4. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read verse 20 and 21, and then chapter 4, verse 1. Three verses. For our conversation is in heaven. The word there means citizenship. We're heavenly citizens. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I want you to notice that word says, so stand fast in the Lord. Now then, we'll use this for the watchword for today. Stand fast in the Lord. You know, there are many scriptures that tell us to stand fast. We're told to stand fast in the faith in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And then we're told to stand fast in fellowship, Philippians 1, verse 27. And then we're told to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That's Galatians 5, verse 1. And there are many other scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2, 15 says, stand fast in the traditions that you've been taught, that is, if you've been taught correctly, by His Word and His epistles. And then we're to stand fast as far as the family is concerned. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord. And there are a lot of things that we need to study about standing fast. But if you'll notice chapter 4, verse 1 here in our context, and hold your place there in the Bible, Philippians chapter 3 and 4. But in verse 1 it says, therefore, my brethren. That means it connects us with what has gone before. Every doctrine in the Word of God has its practical bearing. So when Paul says, therefore, my brethren, he's spoken of, our conversation is in heaven. He's spoken of from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he's talking about changing our vile body at His appearing according to the working whereby He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. So on the basis of this, he says, stand fast. We have some connection with that word therefore. And just like if you read in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Romans connects you with all the first four chapters. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith. And then you come to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then you come to 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So each one of these, Romans 5, 1, Romans 8, 1, Romans 12, 1, sums up all the previous chapters and what is just connected with them. And we need to understand then that every doctrine in the Word of God has its practical bearing, because it has to do with more than just one verse. It has to do with how it ties in with other things. In Romans chapter 3, let me just turn to this one, if you will, the third chapter of the book of Romans. I want to give you a verse of Scripture where Paul comes to a conclusion. He talks about a lot of things, and he says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. He's given a whole exposition of what it means to be justified through the blood of Christ. And then he says, therefore we conclude. So you can come to some conclusions and some doctrinal convictions after you've studied portions of God's Word and come to understand what goes before it and what's connected with it. Paul was anxious here in the book of Philippians that the Philippians be preserved faithful unto the coming of Christ. And he says, stand fast. And as we look at these three verses, I want us to notice three things, three major headings. And the first one is, Paul joyfully perceived that his beloved converts were in their right place. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Notice that. It's very important that we begin right. In the Lord is the right place in our spiritual lives to begin. We need to get started in the right step. Many of you have been in the service and you know what it is to get out of step or to start wrong. You have to skip and jump and do a lot of things to get back in step with a cadence. So anyway, we know it's good to get started in the right step, and we know it's good to lay a good foundation, and Jesus Christ is that foundation that we should build thereupon. We have to start by true repentance and faith. There are many scriptures that we could give you. Acts 26 is one. Acts 26 and verse 20. Acts 26 and verse 20 will tell us this. It's telling how Paul turned to the Gentiles, and he says that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. That was his message, that they should repent and turn to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul speaks of the Thessalonians, how that they turn to God from idols. You turn from something to something. And they turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. In Philippians chapter 1, it tells us that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's in Philippians 1, verse 6. And he's begun that good work, so it's you started out on the right foot, you started out in the right way, and so that's the position we should take. And Paul perceived and he was joyful in the fact that these people that he was preaching to had started out in the right way and that they were in the right element. The only position in which we can begin right is to be in the Lord. That's the only position in spiritual things. In the church is one thing. In God's service and work is another thing. But neither are to be before we are in the Lord. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he said, I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke. This is a symbol of service. We put the yoke on the oxen, the horse, or team of horses or whatever, mules or whatever we use. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he says, ye shall find rest. Let me read that for you so you'll see what it says. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The first rest, he says, I will give you. Come and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke and you shall find rest. You know, there's a lot of people that have taken that yoke of salvation. In other words, come to Christ and they received him and he's given them rest. And then they have not taken upon themselves that purpose to serve the Lord, and therefore they have not found rest. There are many Christians that are still not serving the Lord. If you want to find a rest to your soul, find it in God's service. And that's the way you will find it. And it will be more lasting. So the thing about it is we need to be in the Lord. And what is it to be in the Lord? It means when we have fled to the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone? No one else. And nothing else. Someone says, well, I trust the Lord as my Savior, but I have to do this and I have to do that. And you know, if I don't do certain things, and they put works into the mix, And they say, well, you know, I've got to hold out faithful. Well, it's good that you hold out faithful, but holding out faithful is not what's going to save you. It's the Lord that has saved you. Because many of us do not hold out faithful. And when we talk about works, many of us are behind in works. And the Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says He saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. And we find that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus says, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there's some things that have taken place in us to put us in the Lord. And so the question is, have you come to Calvary's cross and beheld Christ as your Savior and trusted in His finished work on the cross when He said, it is finished, and He shed His blood to redeem us? The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we could give you scripture after scripture on that point, but time will not permit us to do so. The Lamb of God, He's your sin bearer, and He's your substitute. He took your place. He died for our sins, Peter says. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And having been born again then by faith in Christ, we're in the Lord, believing on Him as our Savior. And these people, in addition to having fled to Christ for refuge, were now in Christ as to their daily life, abiding and being obedient and having fellowship with one another and following His example. Jesus says, if you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love. So there's a whole lot of things that we need to say about it. Do all, the Bible says, in the name of the Lord. Stand fast there, living for Jesus daily, in prayer, in witnessing, in growing in grace. How are you going to grow in grace? Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Paul says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 that we need the strong meat of the Word. He says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. That would be the ABCs. And are become such as have need of meat, a milk, and not of strong meat, because they were not mature. And he says, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we need to grow in the Lord. And we grow by feeding upon His Word. We need to walk with Him daily. And we need to find that we have acceptance in prayer. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Divine providence. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Can you trust God in bad times as well as good times? We need to learn to do that, because He's promised that it will all work together for our good. We have a divine anointing. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. That's what the Lord has done for us. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And so we need that spiritual guidance day by day. And then these people realized that they were in Christ by a real and vital union. They were members of His body. The Bible tells us of that in Ephesians 5, verse 30. We're in Christ by a living union, and a loving union, and a lasting union. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Jesus has become our element. Some people are out of their element. You know, if I go to a great big city, if If I were to go to Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, I would be out of my element. I don't know about you. You may be familiar with it, and you may like it, but I would be completely out of my element. And our element as a Christian is in the Lord. You know, the air is the surrounding of the birds, and the water is the surrounding for fish. But you take a fish and just put him in the air, and it won't be long till you won't have anything but a dead fish. And you put a bird in the water very long. I have a place out there where I water the birds, and one day I found one of them in a bucket that I had there for the deer to drink out of, drowned because he got down in there and couldn't get out. So you have to stay in your element. You know, a lot of people have not discovered where they should be. So stand fast in the Lord. The believer's element is in the Lord. And you need to stay in your surroundings. And if you're familiar with your surroundings, you know I can come to this pulpit, I feel perfectly at home. If I go to another church and they ask me to preach, I feel, you know, like a stranger in a strange land. And I can manage to get through a message, but it's not like being here. And having been here for 47 years, I can do pretty much as I please up here. You know? That's what's so grand about it. I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I just get up and speak and say, and if I want to talk to folks, I do that. If I want to recognize someone, I can do that. But anyway, thank God that He's given me that privilege, because this is my element as far as a preacher, a pastor is concerned. And they were in their element. And then because they were in their element, they were in Christ, and they were Paul's brethren. Therefore, my brethren. Notice what he says. Therefore, my brethren, in this context, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So he uses that to show his connection with them. He says, my brethren. He calls them dearly beloved brethren and longed for brethren. Many of them were Gentiles, but now they were brethren. In Hebrews 2:11, it says, Christ is not ashamed. Christ is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then the next thing, that he used this again, my dearly beloved, that means my doubly dear ones. If you say someone is dear to you, and then you turn around and say, you're doubly dear, extremely or above that dear to me, that goes beyond. And we have that in our husband and wife relationship, in our children, in our families, in our family relationship. Certainly we have it also in our church relationship here. Dearly beloved, I know that in this church there's a deep sense of love for every child of God, every one of the brothers and sisters in this church. Amen. And that's what makes it special. And if you wanted, I was talking to Dick and Beanie about the church. This is the best church you could find in Ruidoso. It may be smaller than many of them, you know. But I believe it's the best. You know why I believe it's the best? Because we have that kind of fellowship. There's no gossiping and no arguing and no quibbling about every little thing that comes along. We try to do it in unity. And I believe that that's a wonderful thing to have in a church, is unity. Paul says that we may keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. My dearly beloved, now then, not only that, he had brought many of them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The jailer and Lydia, remember, this is the Philippian church he's writing to. He preached to the Philippian jailer, and he was saved. He also preached to Lydia, and she was saved. And the whole company he had gathered. And then he calls them long for, that is, his most desired ones, the first desired. He desired them first, and then they were converted, then to be baptized, then to grow in grace. And that's my desire for this church and its ministry. Make disciples and baptize those that become Christians, and then teach them to observe all things. By the way, that's the commission we're set to do. And then he adds, my joy and crown. Paul had been the means of their salvation, and they would be His crown and prize and joy at the coming of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, He tells us that that's the way with the Thessalonians. Let me read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 19. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown, our rejoicing, of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" He says, that's going to be my joy. Are you going to have that kind of joy as Christ comes? Now then, we've talked about the first point of our message. Paul joyfully perceived that these beloved converts were in their right place. Now, I said I'd give you three things. Number two is this. Secondly, it was for this reason that he longed that they would keep in their right place. It's one to be in the right place in the Lord, but then he instructs them to stand fast. If you are in the right place, stand fast there. Don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Stand fast in the Lord. Not just to begin their Christian life, but to continue it and to complete it in the right way. And we've already quoted Philippians 1, verse 6, that says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is going to perform that work in us until Christ's coming. And how are we to stand fast? In godliness. Godliness is a long life process. And we might put it a lifelong process. Not just a bunch of don'ts. There are some don'ts. But not a whole bunch like the we find, don't do this, don't do that. We become judgmental. Churches become so legalistic that they say, don't do that, don't do something else. That's judgmental. Now, there's some things we should not do, and we'll go to the do-nots as well. But godliness is a life that's lived for the Lord and for God. The Bible said, Paul speaks of one, Demas. He says, Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. One of his companions. Do not go back into the world. Stay away from it. We need staying power to stay out of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do not let money or success or prosperity slacken your Christian life. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's what Jesus said. Do not let poverty or disappointment or failure cause you to turn away from the Lord. Don't let any of these things. Let me read a scripture for you in the book of Proverbs. And this might be well for us to heed. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. Listen carefully to these two verses. He says, "Remove far from me, not me far from, but remove far from me vanity and lies." Then he says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." Give me what? Neither poverty nor riches. God knows what you need. Proverbs 30 and verse 8. Now listen carefully. "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." You see, there's two things, two extremes we don't want to go to. You be thankful for what God has given you and use it for God's glory in this life. By the way, you're not going to take a U-Haul behind you when you go to the cemetery. You won't load it up and go then. You better use what you have for the glory of God. It doesn't hurt to be thrifty and save for the time that you'll have needs. You may have need of medical care. You may have need of someone to help you as you get older. And for home care and health care and things like that. In fact, that's a good policy. Don't be wasteful. Jesus wasn't wasteful. When he fed the 5,000, he took up the baskets of bread and fishes that were left and saved it. He wanted to prove also to the apostles that he had sufficient for them after it was all done. A lot of things, but I won't go into that. But we need to realize that we do not let these things, poverty or disappointment, failure, cause you to turn away from the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Be grateful for what God has given you in all things. Remember that Jesus said of the 10 lepers, you know, he healed 10 lepers. Cleanse. The word for lepers is cleansing. It's not healing, by the way. He cleansed the 10 lepers. And they went on their way to show the priest. And one turned back and gave the Lord thanks. And Jesus said, where are the nine? Were there not 10 cleansed? We might use that in relation to the church today. Think of all the membership that should be in the church today. And in every church, it happens all over. It's not just our church. I talked to my brother-in-law down in Azle, Texas, and they have the same problems, not only attendance, but financial problems and other that all of us have in churches. But anyway, to make a long story short, there are many people that have received salvation and claim to be saved by the precious blood of Christ that do not do what they're supposed to do. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed when this one that came and gave him thanks? He says, where are the 9? 9 out of 10, and only one gave him thanks. 9 out of 10 fell by the wayside. It's a sad story, but that's the way it goes. Now then, we need to stand fast. We need to stand fast doctrinally. That is, in the Word of God. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, to be not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, everything that comes down the pike, so to speak, every new thing that comes along. We have the Word of God. It's been here for years. God's authorized Word. We're to believe it and to follow it and to teach it and to preach it and to believe it and to stand upon it and stand fast in the Lord. Do not be moved doctrinally. Jude speaks of the faith. Let us contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints in the book of Jude. Now then, contending for the faith doesn't mean contentious. It means standing fast. You know, you have a lot of people that claim to be contending for the faith that are contentious in the faith. That's a different word altogether. You can stand doctrinally if you want to. And God wants us to do that exactly. In His Word, He tells us to stand fast. Also, we're to be set for the defense of the gospel. Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 7 says, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. In the defense. And then on down in verse 17, but he says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Be set for the defense of the gospel. We need to stand fast doctrinally. We need to stand fast practically. Abide firm in what is right and what is true and what is holy. Do not mix the world in the church. You know, there's a lot of churches that are worldly. Sad to say. The church is in the world, but the world shouldn't be in the church. You know, let me give you an illustration. The ship in the ocean is fine, but the ocean in the ship is what? Disastrous. And so you get the world in the church, and you've got just about that same equivalence. So let's make sure that we keep the world out of the church. This is God's house. It's a spiritual house. It's a place of worship. It's a place of teaching God's Word. It's a place of preaching God's Word. It's a place of prayer. Jesus said some in His day had made the house of God a den of thieves. And that's what we do when we bring other things in that rob it of its spirituality. There can be all kinds of things brought into church that are not godly and are not right. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord. You cannot have Christ and Belial. You need to have Christ or Belial. And He says, come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 14, read it all. My time is getting away. Stand fast experimentally. Stand close to the Lord Himself. Count yourself, count Him as your soul treasure and your salvation. Faith in His atonement. Enjoy His present salvation. He's promised you that you now have eternal life. and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. What scripture is that I've taught you to remember? John 5, verse 24. I don't know how many have. John 5, 24. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." So stand assured in that. Have confidence in His divinity. Assurance in His second coming. Stand fast in the Lord without wishing for another trust. You don't have any other trust to wish for. No hope but that which is in Christ. All my hope is in Jesus. In nothing else. It's not in my works. It's not in my goodness. Not in my righteousness. It's in Christ. All my hope. I don't have any hope outside of Him. If Jesus did not pay it all for me, I can't pay the rest of it. We sing a song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Stand fast in His grace and in His security and in the power of His blood that was shed. Stand fast without wavering in our trust. Cling to the cleansing blood of Christ. Permit no doubt to enter in and to worry you and to upset you. And without wondering, not only wavering, but without wandering around into sin, even though you're tempted from within and from without, don't wonder. And stand fast without wearying. Do not be weary. Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And then stand fast without warping. We pointed that out one time. Remember the green timber I told you about that I fixed for Brother Johnson's house, by the way, 8 by 14, or 6 or 8 by 14. It's about 28 feet long, and I put it down here on Meander Drive and on some 2x4s and turned it every day so it wouldn't warp. Some people become so twisted in their beliefs that they don't know what they believe. They're warped. Sad to say. They take a little bit here and a little bit there, and they mix it all together. It's kind of like a mulligan stew. You don't know whether you're eating cabbage or carrots or potatoes or what else. Or mutton or beef. You know, don't mix it together. By the way, when we go down here, people know how I like to eat. I eat one thing at a time. Some people say, well, it all mixes together. Well, that may be so, but I want to eat it separately. Then thirdly, the last thing about our message, the third thing, the Apostle Paul urged them urge the best motives for their standing fast. He says these are the motives why you should stand fast. Stand fast because of your citizenship. We just read, your citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. They sang about this heavenly Jerusalem, that pearly white city. We need to walk and talk and live like heavenly citizens for God and for His truth and for holiness. And then the next motive was their outlook. Not only because of their citizenship, but their outlook. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. The outlook. This is the only hope for the ungodly world. You know, the storm clouds are on the horizon today more than you might ever imagine. To us, He's coming, not as a destroyer, but as a Savior. The Bible, Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. And then another motive was their expectation. Their expectation was that He shall change our vile body. This old body is a body of corruption. It shall go back to the dust. But He says that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. He's going to give us a heavenly body. John says, we know not what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Like Him is what? A resurrected body. A heavenly body. A glorified body. In this body we groan by sin and suffer and disease and death, but that's all going to change at Christ's coming. And lastly, the Apostle urges us to stand fast because of our resources. You say, how can this be? That our body will be changed. It says, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. There's the power of it. He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. We may well stand fast. since we have His infinite power at our backs, and we can stand fast till Jesus comes. So let us stand fast in the Lord. That should be our watchword for today.